Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin, you're listening to Up North News.
Just going to be a gorgeous day, pretty much everywhere across Wisconsin. Sunny, quiet, not as humid today and tomorrow, probably around the mid-80s. You know, it depends on where you are in the state. The heat starts to return on Saturday, maybe the rain, depending on where you are as well. So, I mean, basically, if you're today and tomorrow, if you want to join me out on the roads at some point, keep that top off the Jeep. This is why you bought the Wrangler in the first place. You give that little wave to one another. I mean, come on, Luke, you know how cool we look when we're driving those open top Jeeps around. You know, I don't have Biden's aviators, but I'll throw on these sunglasses here. And the whole reason I want you to know how cool we look in them is that you don't know that behind the scenes, when we're trying to put that soft top up or take that soft top down, it looks worse than a group of squirrels trying to assemble furniture from IKEA. It is not a graceful process. My wife has a convertible. She pushes a button, roof goes up, roof goes down.
Nice and quick.
Ours is a bit more of a functional training, as my daughter, the personal trainer, would say. So we're going to enjoy looking cool and keep that top down as long as we can.
Yeah, you just don't want to have to put it on, take it off, put it on, take it off over and over again. That does not sound like fun at all.
No, I've only been caught in the rain with it open one time. It was a big one time. It was one of those, you know, where you look on the radar and the cluster forms right over you. And that's what happened that particular day and how I ended up with about 2-3 inches of water in the Jeep. But
Oh, no.
Oh, but I tell you, that's what it's built for. You just lift up the carpet. It's got those plugs. It drains right out. You leave it in the sun for a while.
Oh, nice.
I love that thing. There I really go. Do. It's my third Wrangler. It's also my last because between my knee and other things, I'm not a young man anymore. I've already decided my next vehicle after this Jeep is going to be in that whole Buick Cadillac frame. I'm ready. I'm ready for the rich Corinthian leather to park my butt. I need a quiet ride. I'm going to ride gracefully into old age.
Is it going to be like one of those Matthew McConaughey, you're riding in a Lincoln commercials kind of vibe?
Yeah. Okay. Without being so damn goofy.
Okay.
You know, just, I hope the car doesn't make you like that because that was some weird behavior going on in those spots. Brewers losing Pittsburgh 8-7 on a walk-off homer. It was one of those games that just kind of breaks your heart. They went up 4-0 in the second. Then it was, you know, then they gave up it all. They gave it all up 4-4 in the sixth, but then they score 3 to go up 7-4, you know, but then they let Pittsburgh come back in the eighth to tie it. Freddie Peralta made his first start since May 22nd. I guess I'd give it a solid B. Other people would grade it higher, you know, three and two thirds innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. He's up to 67 pitches. We have had a pitch count problem, you know, it seems to me this year when every time I'm looking, you know, at the TV, it's like, holy cow, we're approaching 100 pitches in the fifth inning or something like that for our starters. And we've got to do better if we're going to, you know, take what we've got and go further with it, especially since somebody like Devin Williams stepping into the closer role gives up his first run in 30 appearances. And, you know, we need it to be 31. If we're gonna go anyplace with that. We had the distinct pleasure of talking to Senator Tammy Baldwin in our first half hour, reviewing things before the August recess comes, and then very little gets done after that because you've got the campaign till election day. But I did want to take a moment. We talked about rural broadband, and let's just take the rural out of it. Let's just talk broadband in Wisconsin, and I'll be curious as to, you know, what Luke's got and what you all have. I think I'm going to put that up on Up North News as kind of our question of the day is, you know, what kind of internet speed are you dealing with? I put it up as a personal question on Facebook to my Facebook friends. And some like us who have it through the cable company, we are blazing fast at 300 megabits per second. There's no way I could do a radio show through a Zoom video feed from my home if it weren't for, you know, 300 megabit internet service. And then the first comment was from somebody, I believe in Pepin County. 8. Their internet is 8 megabits per second. Okay, that's Fred Flintstone could come and act out the cartoon for you speed rather than wait for any video to come down. So, I mean, there's a lot of room left for improvement. A lot has happened. And we should get somebody on from like the state level. And I mentioned we're going to do a story pretty soon on Boulder Junction, you know, what they do at the local level. But, you know, there's a lot to be done. And there's going to take a lot of what we learned in the Boulder Junction story that we're working on is you obviously have to have local buy-in. You can't just have, you know, the mayor or the city council say, yep, we're going to do this, because it may involve, you know, additions to the levy, but then it won't be as additional on the tax burden if you get state help or if you get federal help. I just liken it to, you know, is the railroad going to come through or is the interstate highway going to come through? And it may or it may not, but what are you at the local level willing to do to help make that happen? Don't expect it to come along for free. Now, Luke, I don't remember what part of town you're in down there, but what is your situation? Or do you have to come to work or sit in the parking lot of a McDonald's in order to get some good internet speed?
No, I'm in Sun Prairie. In Sun Prairie, I believe I also have three. I think there was a deal going on. So for this first year, we recently moved into the new house, and I believe TDS is who our provider is, TDS, and they offered 600 megabytes per second for the same price as the 300 megabyte per second package. And I went with that one because previously in the apartment, I had 300, but you never actually got 300 megabytes per second. Like I think consumer protection is a huge aspect where corporations are taking advantage. And I think that the max speed that we're sold from some of these internet providers is kind of pretty wonky, because you never actually get that speed. They can tell you that it might get up to that.
The conditions have to be just right. The wind has to be blowing just so out of the west.
Nobody else can be using it in a 50 square mile radius or something. I don't understand, because I never actually see because you can go to websites now and test what your incoming internet speed is. And I never see it at the height that you get promised on these packages. So I can't imagine what 8 megabytes per second would be, because that's like you said, Fred Flintstone level.
I worked for a time. Our Up North News, Madison newsroom was in one of these shared office buildings, you know, that try to promise all the bells and whistles. And I had never seen anything like it before. And I don't remember, I want to say it was 500 megabits per second. I mean, I had just never seen, you know, speed like that before. And, you know, it seems like the kind of thing that at some point is going to be ubiquitous. People will say, well, what do you mean you didn't always have color TV? Well, let me tell you, there was black and white once upon a time. And we're going to look back at this era the same way. Let me put the phone number out in case people want to tell us about their experiences. 715-388-7155. That's 715-388-7155. Or send us a note by email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. That's radio@upnorthnewswi.com. I heard from somebody else, a friend out in on Tainter Lake in Dunn County near Menominee, and he has that rare that unicorn experience of having a choice of two different broadband internet providers. I mean, we still don't have that for cable TV in a lot of places where people felt like, you know, there's a monopoly. And then finally, you know, some dish networks came along and helped provide some competition. But, you know, again, just to get one high speed provider would be, you know, a big deal. And I mean, Luke, if the senator talked about how we have to improve it, because that's how people sometimes get their health care now, is through telemedicine. And if we've learned nothing from the pandemic, it's how everything has moved to Zoom. And these radio shows have moved to Zoom. I mean, I could be in a pair of gym shorts right now. You'd never know from depending on which meeting I'm in. And I will never ask what you're wearing, Luke, but you know, the whole internet setup has changed it all.
I appreciate that. Yeah, the internet setup has changed a lot. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe like the definition of high-speed internet is only like 25
100
is 100?
Megabits. Yeah.
Okay. So to get to 100 everywhere and offer that high speed option, I think is crucial. And it's good to see that we're making progress on it, but it is a problem that there has been efforts to address it in the past, but throwing money at it necessarily isn't the only thing that works. We have to find ways to increase competition, like you said, for more providers to come in and offer this so that we can have that free market competition that will drive down costs and hopefully expand access.
Right. And now that's where we get into discussion of what you might call the public option. And if anybody remembers the debate over the Affordable Care Act, there was a lot of talk about putting in a public option so that, again, it would kind of act as a check, you know, so that there couldn't be, you know, monopoly power in certain markets and such. And we don't have that. We don't have that because of one guy, Joe Lieberman, who single-handedly said he would not vote for the Affordable Care Act unless we took the public option out of the bill. So thank him, rest in peace, I guess. Thank him for the lack of a public option. Similarly, when it comes to higher quality cell and broadband service, there have been many places around the country, Wisconsin included, that wanted to form, you know, municipal networks to work to invest into the infrastructure and potentially essentially make it like a public utility. But once again, that's the kind of thing that Republicans put the kibosh on and said, nope, we're not going to allow that because, you know, don't worry, the free market will take care of it. Well, I'll tell you what. As a state legislator, we worked on a bill that kind of gave an overhaul of cable and telecom regulations. And it was something that was definitely not so much a partisan issue as it was, you know, depending on your geography. In other words, those of us who were outstate Democrats were pretty skeptical that anything was going to come of the bill unless you put some more teeth in it. But our Democratic colleagues from, you know, the Madison, Milwaukee areas said, well, hey, wait, no, we can, you know, we're going to get all this extra competition here. And we said, yeah, you are. I mean, the big companies, they're going to want to come to Madison and Milwaukee and, you know, maybe Green Bay and certainly try to, you know, promise more service and get more customers. And I did ask a lobbyist for, you know, one of the behemoth telecom companies. I said, what's your company's plan to get up to Chippewa County? And, you know, if you ever want to see some good tap dancing, you know, ask somebody from corporate America a direct question about what are you going to do for me? And, you know, this person knew me well enough that they could answer fairly candidly, but no, there's really no plan, you know, to expand. But we still would like your vote on the bill. Well, that didn't happen, you know, because, again, if a legislature is going to do anything, it's going to try to improve lives and not, you know, deregulate things at the expense of service in the district where you are. Because again, without this, and this was all pre-pandemic, we need this. This is our modern way of delivering information, of delivering radio shows, of delivering lessons to our kids. Yes, you want the kids in school as much as possible, but, you know, at times of, like, I don't know, a public health emergency, you know, you have to go with the next thing. And such is the case for telemedicine. And this is where I have to tell tale about telemedicine that, you know, you have to be careful of what you wish for, because obviously being married to a physician, and so therefore I know several physicians, and they have had to, you know, along with being the heroes that they are, they have had to, you know, make some accommodations for their types of practice, do a bit more telemedicine work. And in many ways that can be done just fine. It can't be done with the obstetricians and gynecologists. You know, at one point they got a note, you know, saying, you know, your department isn't doing as much telemedicine as, you know, internal medicine and some of the others. And one of the docs said to them, I want you to think about that for a moment. Try doing gynecology as telemedicine. Are you going to tell somebody, why don't you scoot a little closer to the camera? That's not telemedicine. That's pornography. So needless to say, you know, they backed off of that. Telemedicine is essential, but, you know, you're never going to get the robot to deliver the baby for you. That's for sure. We will take a break, come back with more of Up North News. Congressional candidate Mark Newman coming up in our next hour. We'll be right back.